And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Is that an accordion?
Hip hop accordion? But I love
it. We have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their minds. So they have an extra one. And that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
It is an accordion. Hip hop with accordion is a thing. We have just invented a brand new genre, a brand new style of music today.
Yes, we have. Not.
That's awesome. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. My granddaughter will love that. We were playing accordion music just last week.
What?
Yes.
Brian Mansour is our guest. Yes, go ahead, Bob.
No, you go. I was just saying, we need more accordion. That's awesome. Now, go ahead.
Brian Mansfield is our guest. Good to see you, Brian. I see you. I see Brian at like more grocery stores than ever. I see you. I'm like, oh, there's Brian. And you're like, oh, I don't bother you.
I see lots. It's amazing who you see in the grocery stores here.
Yeah, Nashville grocery stores are a thing. Like, yeah. You really will see things.
Especially late at night. Late at night on a Wednesday, you see everybody because they're trying to shop before they go on the road. They're getting stuff for their buses.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, yeah, and you do see the buses on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, they're getting – everybody, they meet at the grocery store. Everybody goes get their food and their snacks for the weekend, and then they hit the road. And
I get real surprised at the sketchy grocery store that you and I go to when I see famous people in there. Because I'm like, you could – you don't live over here, do you? I feel like you could afford better. But I mean, okay. So, and then I'm always trying to be cool. Like, oh, you're like me. You're slumming.
is this kind of your, this is a big year for, I mean, you do a lot of, you've written books, you've done radio shows, you report on the industry, report on music and other things. With the Opry and the 100 thing, is this has got to be like your Super Bowl year.
It really kind of is. I mean, they're doing so much stuff you can't even.
Are you going to England?
No, I am not going to England. Yeah. I wish I were going to England.
Yeah.
Have you been?
No, I have. I have never been. I've been to the Caribbean, but I've never really been outside the country
the same. No different.
Actually, there are parts of England that look like the Caribbean, which is the strangest thing because you would never expect it. The Isles of Scilly and the Penzance. You remember the Pirates of Penzance? That's all England.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't think of it that way.
Yeah. Who it seems like everybody's coming out for it, like with the Opry 100 shows. And
yeah, I mean, Ringo Starr and everybody.
What's your thoughts on all that kind of stuff? Like Ringo and all these other people who are like, I almost kind of feel like they're wanting to do it so they can say they did it.
Wouldn't you?
Is it grifting if they do it, or is it just kind of playing like the fan, you know, like I'm a fan, I've always been a fan, so I just want to be a part of it.
Well, I mean, you got to be invited. So if they don't want you there, it's not like you're going to just show up. I mean, I think Anna Nicole Smith did that, but that was that was about it. She like came to the Opry one night, and next thing they knew, she was up on the stage square dancing and flashing the audience and the whole bit.
Joe Nichols told us a whole
story. Wait, she flashed the audience? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
What?
The management swears that it was like a nude bra, but people that were there were like, uh-uh.
At the Opry?
At the Opry.
Wow. On stage?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I mean, that's where she met Joe Nichols, because apparently she was a Joe Nichols fan.
Yeah.
And they met that night. She ended up singing he ended up singing at her funeral. But the one thing that I know is that before that show was over, management was in the control room going, give me all of the video. Uh-huh. And that video has never surfaced.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it was before like cell phone cameras, probably.
Before they were as
everyone had.
Yeah,
them.
It was like,
or everyone was
2000.
Using them.
What was it? 2009. I was just thinking about this actually last night, because Lou Christie, the pop singer that did Lightning Strikes, that had that falsetto, big high falsetto in the 60s. He was there that night, but he wasn't performing. Mm-hmm. And I was a big Lou Christie fan when I was a kid, and I got introduced to him. And so I spent my whole night talking to Lou Christie and geeking out over him. Meanwhile, Anna Nicole Smith is on stage flashing everybody. Didn't know a thing about it until well after it had happened.
I looked it up. I found an article where it says she had a wardrobe malfunction, and it was not on purpose. She was dancing on stage with some cloggers, And oh, the ad pops up. is that the worst?
It's the worst.
She's shimmying around, shaking her.
And what her mother gave her.
Lifted up her skirt in a sort of square dance can-can move and gave the audience a view of her panties. And then she did some kind of crazy dance, as it says here, where she turned around, stuck her butt out, and at one point her boob popped out, is what it says. And they're like, oh my gosh. So that really did happen. This is a piece of history, country music history, we never knew existed.
And I was feet away from it, and I'm over here talking to Lou Christie.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
We go off the rails real fast when I'm in a conversation.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
That's just, I mean, again, that's, I've never even heard whispers of that story. And, I mean, we were around during all that time. It was swept under the rug even here.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, it just by the end of the night, it did not happen.
Do you have any other country salaciousness
country
stories?
Salaciousness.
Things that we may not know about that happened?
I don't know. Probably.
I'm trying to think of some really weird ones myself.
What was the one with Mel Tillis and somebody was trying to break into their hotel room?
Oh, yeah. It was Mel Tillis and...
Waylon?
I can't remember. Was it Waylon telling the story, maybe? But he said that, you know, they stayed in, like, really cheap hotels.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a big... And it was, he said that it's one of those that the doors go to the outside, kind of a hotel, motel. And he said that they had... It was really hot, and they had the windows up, and... Mel Tillis woke up to someone's leg coming into the window, like breaking in. And he said, I tried to like tell whoever was with
Waylon or whoever it was.
Hey, there's somebody in there. He goes, he stutters so bad he couldn't get it out. And he said, and then I thought, if I sing, I can do it. So he says, wake up, someone's breaking in.
There's a leg coming in the window.
I remember a story about Johnny Cash getting like a whole bunch of baby chicks and letting them loose in a hotel. I think somebody, it may have been Cash, like painted the entire hotel room black and stuff like that. So, I mean, there was as much craziness on the countryside as there was on the rock. They just weren't necessarily throwing furniture out the window and into pools.
Yeah, right.
Now we just throw it off of bar,
the building tops. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, and Cash, like, set a whole national forest on fire.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He got in big trouble, like, burned hundreds of acres, as I recall.
Hey, do you remember the story? I think it was him.
Wait, how are we glossing over that? Where was this? When did this happen?
Early 60s, maybe?
He set a national forest on fire.
Yeah.
That's the crazy, like, you've been in here not even 10 minutes, and I've already learned two things that I never knew about country music.
What's the, there's a festival where he stopped and he stole flowers from someone's yard, because he was, named a festival after it. It's like called the Stolen Flowers Festival, or kind of maybe.
No, that's not one I know.
Yeah, so he was like headed home or something, and he needed to get flowers for whatever.
I have it here. It's 60 years ago. He was arrested for picking flowers, but he was officially pardoned by the town because, you know, they got very well known for it. Starkville City Jail.
Starkville, Mississippi?
I'm reading it right, yeah. In the early morning hours of May 11th, 1965, Johnny Cash was arrested for public drunkenness after he was found picking flowers on this site. It's one of those little roadside placards.
Okay.
Following a show at Mississippi State the previous evening, Cash, who spent the night at the county jail, memorialized the incident through the song Starkville City Jail, which he most famously performed on another correctional institution at another, which was there at Live at San Quentin.
Okay, so. I think I knew about the arrest. I had forgotten about the flowers. Now, he did get arrested for public drunkenness in Nashville in front of where Dolly Parton's hotel is going to be. So, like, somewhere on that block, like on that corner, he got busted for being drunk.
They should have like an outline of somebody there, like you know, like you, and I don't mean like an outline of like you know a body or something, but like maybe some kind of drink or something, like paint it on the curb and say, "Here's where Johnny was arrested." But you do that all over the place because you know how many country singers have been arrested around this town for drunken driving, drunkenness, or whatever. You can make little photo op stops all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, but and you wouldn't have room for anything else. Because that would be like every block everywhere. I mean, not that they were arrested there, but there's like some story in almost every block of this town like yeah. that.
And I mean, you know how they have the Walk of Fame? You could totally do this with the, you know, the Shots of Fame or something. And you just make it a selfie thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a little fundraiser type deal. We could do that.
Oh, that's an idea.
We'll just get a little stencil and just go out there and put them all over the place. And then there's little numbers on a Google Maps thing, and you can go around town and collect them all.
It's like the Freedom Trail in Boston.
Exactly.
But, you know,
or the Road to Hana in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. There's like this app that where you take this road to Hana, and it's a GPS thing, and it will tell you what you're passing as you drive by it. And you can take two or three routes, and it'll say, you know, if you go off here, you'll see this. And there's this waterfall coming up on your left.
And we can do it like Pokemon, where they had the Pokestops.
Exactly.
Except it's Pokeshots. And we have it to where you have shots with
Bubba,
like,
you have sold me.
Yeah, we now
you have sold it. Me.
Now it's happening.
Yes. It's combined. It's an app. It's its own thing. Yes. We can make some money.
It's going to happen. This is going to happen. We had, who was the author that came in on the Opry? He had the book. I have it.
Craig Shelburne?
Yes.
Yep.
He used to be my intern.
Really?
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, years ago.
Wow. Came in and it was his first book.
I know.
That's a.
I was very proud of him.
You should be. It was done very well, and all the research. I think it took him. I mean, years
yeah.
to do.
Oh yeah, I was a little jealous, but I was more proud.
Yeah, I was going to say. I didn't realize the connection there. you're probably in the book,
or something that somebody said to me, or
your
something.
Name so. Is probably.
I am the back of my head is in a picture in the green room at the Grand Ole Opry.
Okay,
because we bought tickets for their 5,000th show and got like third row seats, and so there's this big shot from the crowd of the stage at the 5,000th show, and you can see my head and you can see my wife's head right there in the Opry green room. I'm really proud of that. More proud than I am of Craig Shelburne having a book.
Who was it that showed us the picture of Hank Sr.'s ghost at the Opry?
Mark Wills.
Yeah,
Mark.
Oh, I believe that. I know.
So it was the very last time Little Jimmy was ever on the stage at the Opry, and it was his last show, and it was at the Ryman that night.
Would have been probably over if you're on the stage, probably like by the left column.
So they took a picture of him walking off the stage. I just got goosebumps. They took a picture of him walking off the stage, and in the background, you see the silhouette, perfectly shaped, of Hank Sr.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. I've heard ghost stories in the Ryman.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Not that I know of.
You ever had a weird paranormal experience?
Oh, we believe in all that.
Have so I had a weird paranormal? I don't think I have had a weird paranormal experience. I have enough weird normal experiences.
You've never been in a situation where you're like, something's wrong? Like, do you ever?
Well, yeah, but not because there was a ghost.
How do you know that, though? It could have been. You could have had a paranormal
experience.
That's what
I'm saying. Not that I know of.
Well, Bubba's seen some pretty weird stuff.
I've seen some weird stuff. Yeah,
he watched a guy disappear in front of his face.
That was crazy.
Looking at him, and then
we made eye contact, and he just
gone.
Gone. It wasn't like he dissolved. It was just he was gone.
What do you think that is? Do you think that's like some sort of a? Are we in just all there's the timeline is all one? Like there is no time.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at quantum theory and everything all exists in the same time.
Yeah,
the same space
idea that time isn't linear.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, everything kind of overlaps. Yeah. I mean.
So are we ghosts in someone else's timeline?
Could be.
Oh. I don't know you that well.
That's actually a very profound question. Like I
also,
love.
Also, I apologize if I'm the ghost you got.
Oh yeah.
That seems so boring. Like you're like, oh, that's a girl who sits on her couch and reads.
She's watching Wheel of Fortune again.
Right. Yeah.
Our ghost is watching.
Okay,
Sage
now
reruns.
I will say we stayed in a haunted hotel the last time I went out to see my daughter in California. We stayed in what's supposed to be a haunted hotel in Tucson, Arizona.
What's the name of it?
I don't remember, but if you look up Haunted Hotel in Tucson, Arizona, you'll find it. And it's been around. It's old hotel, been around for like 100 years or more. It used to be like one of these long-term residential kind of hotels where people would live for years and years. And there's one that was the guy basically turned it into a meat locker. And so he would hang sides of meat.
Hotel Congress?
Room. Maybe. Is there a rocking chair? Is there one with a story about a rocking chair in that like rocks by itself? Because we stayed in that room. And my daughter swears that she woke up in the middle of the night and the chair was rocking by itself. And then in the bathroom, there's like three light bulbs over the sink. And when we got in, one was loose. And so my wife tightened it back up and turned it back on. And she said that she got up the next morning and it was loose again.
Yeah, how's that work? How's that happen?
Well, in that particular case, and I haven't told her this, I unscrewed it.
Oh, Jesus. Stop it.
But she swears that it was loose when she got in and then it was loose again the next morning and then she tightened
it. So the biggest one is Hotel Congress.
There's also
Pioneer Hotel. I don't think you would – Royal Elizabeth Bed and Breakfast.
I'm betting it was – I mean, because this was like – it'd been on YouTube videos.
Because everywhere I picked up, it's everything's Hotel Congress in Tucson.
Okay.
Ghost Adventures went there?
Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah.
So that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we – Bubba swears that he saw – was it ghosts or do you think it was sorority girls?
I think it was sorority girls. You're talking Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was weird. We slept. There's like a little apartment at A&M, and Big D and I were doing an event there. So they put up VIPs on campus at this little place. And apparently, like, certain people have keys and access to this place. And they use it as a little party pad. So we're sleeping. And, you know, it's like an apartment,
separate
bedrooms and everything. And in the middle of the night, I open my eyes, and there's the door. I heard something. The door cracks open, and I see two heads kind of peek in, and they're like, laughing, and then they shut the door, and they leave. And I'm like,
I never heard it. He's talked to me the next day, and I'm like,
I'm going back to bed.
I didn't get any of that.
If I ever have a spectral experience, I hope that it's one that I can confuse with sorority girls.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I went back to bed. I'm like, let me go back to this dream.
Of course, I never asked. Have you ever had any kind of weird supernatural thing?
Yeah. The most freaked out I've ever been, I was at Lafitte's in New Orleans, which is the oldest bar, and there's no electricity. And I was in the bathroom, which is just one. There's no electricity in there. There's a candle. And I went in there, and I had such an overwhelming sense that something was in there. And it was like malicious. It was definitely not happy about me. And I just freaked out and ran out. And I was like, I'm going to go to the daiquiri bar and use their restroom because something in there wants to kill me.
Were you drinking at the time?
Of course.
Of course.
Did I mention I was at Lafitte in New Orleans? Yes. But I also, I am the happiest drunk you know. I love, you guys know me. I am not warm and fuzzy. I love everybody.
Right.
I hug it. I'm talking to everybody. We're telling stories. Yeah. So for me to actually go into that kind of a weird headspace, I don't think it had anything to do with the alcohol, the purple drink that I was drinking there.
Wow.
But yeah, it was overwhelmingly scary.
I love that bar.
Yeah, I do too. It's my favorite.
Have you been, Brian?
Lafitte's, no.
It's great. Yeah, I mean, like it was there for hundreds of years. You know, it used to be the old blacksmith shop, and like all the pirates used to gather there and talk biz. And you think like, you know, the second war with Britain, what is it, 1812?
1812, yeah.
That they were, you know, plotting how to, you know, screw up Britain's invasion by making them chase them through the marshes. And, you know, the pirates knew where all the sandbars were. And yeah, they just.
Well, they claim that in the fireplace there that Lafitte's eyes will appear and like point you to his treasure because people still haven't found allegedly his treasure. So I was fully prepared to be like, ooh, creeped out and stuff. But I'm with my boyfriend and our friends and we're all right, fine. I'm going to the bathroom. Da-da-da. Nope. I don't know what wanted to kill me, but something in that bathroom wanted to kill me. I left.
Brian, changing to music. where do you think the next where do you think the next thing for country music is?
Well, what I see happening right now is Christian music is kind of having a moment for them that country music had going into pop a couple of years ago, you know, when Luke Combs was having the pop hit.
The crossover.
Yeah, so there's some Christian music like this Brandon Lake guy mm-hmm. that has the duet with Jelly Roll. That is like just beginning to hit country radio in
a
big way.
That song is so huge.
Yeah, and it's been kind of bubbling around. You've had some stations that have added it really early, but you have a lot that still haven't started playing it. But it hit the chart this week, and so I think that's about to blow up. And mm-hmm. he is just this incredibly charismatic performer. He's done that song. He and Jelly have done that song at Jelly's Bar at the Grand Ole Opry, at Stagecoach, on
CMA
the K-Level
Fest.
Awards. Yeah. I mean, just
and they had the big, all the drones doing the cross in the sky and
yeah.
everything. Yeah.
And so I think that's about to be, that's going to be that hit here that comes just kind of out of nowhere and becomes really huge. I don't know how much there is in Christian music that's going to move in because of that. But there's always been that overlap, you know, because like Thomas Rhett's always doing stuff with Christian artists, and Dustin Lynch is his stuff. And
look at Randy Travis, Three Wooden Crosses.
Right. And, yeah. So that's always been there.
We have Ann Wilson coming in.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I see as the thing that at the beginning of the year, nobody might have guessed, but that's going to be really huge
yeah.
in a few weeks.
I have recently noticed, like over the past 2 months, I've been noticing the shift in the way things sound sonically. And I've mentioned it to these guys, and they're like, now that's all they can hear too, is I feel like we are, because country follows the cultural things that were going on, like the hip hop has finally worked its way into country.
Right.
Back in the day, it was the hair bands were making their way into country. We are hitting the point where we're getting the pop punk and emo and a little bit of grunge and the Nickelback and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not talking about bro country. It's really more of that pop punky kind of sound that I'm starting to hear. Bailey Zimmerman, perfect example of that. There's so many different acts that are doing it right now that it's so interesting to see the shift in music, because again, the younger people define the sound,
right.
And this is the music that they were growing up on in the 2000s.
Well, and what you said, the music they were growing up on, I mean, that's part of what makes country music country, is it's generally Southerners trying to recreate the pop music they grew up with. It's the one timeline, or it's the one theme that is through the entire country music timeline from the 1920s and the Carter family with, you know, the blues or the folk songs that they heard, and Hank Williams and the, you know, the street performers and whatever that he learned from, and Eddie Arnold and the pop music that he grew up with. That's what makes it country, is bringing in that pop sound that you grew up with. And right now, one of those big pop sounds is kind of that new metal thing, the Linkin Park, the Nickelback, and
Bowling
you hear
that for Soup,
in,
all that.
Yeah, and you hear that in Hardy, and you hear that in Bailey.
Megan Maroney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I tell you who was maybe the first to bring in the pop punk emo thing was Taylor Swift. Because if you go back and you listen to a lot of those early Taylor Swift records, they sound just like Dashboard Confessional.
And I'm going to have to listen to it differently.
And she was a huge Chris Carrabba fan. Go listen to a Dashboard Confessional album, and then go listen to Red, and tell me that girl didn't grow up listening to Chris Carrabba.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. Like, I just love that about country music, and it's so crazy because you recognize it, we recognize it, all that, but then you have people who fight against it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, well, that's not the country I grew up in. But country has always changed, and we've said this a billion times. Country music has changed. There was a time when drums weren't allowed. There was a time when steel guitar was not allowed, because that's not country, that's Hawaiian music. Now you've got Hawaiian music is basically country music. If you go to Hawaii and you listen to what the bands are doing, it's all country.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, electric guitar, that's rock and roll. I mean, we've changed with the times, and yeah. It's going to continue to do that. And it's interesting to see where we're going.
Yeah, but I always say the oldest tradition in country music is trying to make pop music that you grew up with just through your own Southern experience. And the second oldest tradition in country music is complaining that it's too pop.
That's right. So what are you doing? So I know you get Country Insider, you're writing. What's going on in your life? What's your day like?
My day is getting the newsletter out because I wake up in the morning and there is nothing on the page. And by the end of the day, something has to be ready to go out to everybody with the radio news or, industry changes, personnel moves, things like that, or announcements, album announcements or partnership announcements, whatever they are. So that takes up enough of my day that I don't have enough time to do the kinds of things that I really want to do.
Yeah, right. So you're probably all – do you have, sources? Like, who call you and be like, hey, Brian?
Not as many as I would like. You always want more. So, if you guys ever hear stuff, feel free to give me a call.
Man, we hear stuff, and it's just like, there's no way that's true.
I had somebody the other day that was like, oh, well, you must be having a really busy day today. And I'm going, well, I kind of always. And then he told me, well, this has just happened, and there are all these changes going on somewhere. And I was like, I didn't know about that. You'll excuse me. My lunch just got cut short.
Well, everyone wants to know what the latest, gab is and what's happening in the news. And
the tea.
All the tea.
Do you know what else Brian knows a lot about?
What?
Estate sales here.
What?
Oh, you guys see each other on the trail?
No, he usually beats me because he knows them. They'll let him in early.
What?
He will get to pick things over before I get there.
Can I make a request? I would like a console stereo, but not one that's all beat up. I want one that has an RCA input so I can plug in a Bluetooth to run it through those old, warm console stereo speakers to where it sounds like my childhood.
Those are not that hard to come by.
That's what I always tell them. They're not hard to find. It's just a matter of getting them moved.
I know a guy that could fix it up like you're talking about.
I don't even want to fix it up. I want it to be, I want the patina. I want the beat-up-ness of it.
But I mean, like with the plugins that you're talking about.
I could do that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, as long as it works. Yeah. I'm gold.
All right, I'll keep
okay, it. All right.
Facebook Marketplace is not a bad place to find
those.
The
problem is people buy them from estate sales, and then they go and they put them on Facebook Marketplace for several hundred dollars.
Oh, well,
and I'm like, I'll just wait. I'll run across one day. It's like that old Zenith that we have in the green room, that old radio. I got that. I paid $350 for that, and I did that 25 years ago. So I mean,
that thing's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but it doesn't work in the traditional way. We've kind of rigged it up to where it works the way we need it. When we have people in the studio, their people sit in the other room and they listen through that.
Oh, that's cool.
So we've repurposed it that way. Yeah, but the actual radio tuner on it is broken.
Yeah, see, I would think this would be one of the problems with the morning show, because I have, since I have to be at work in the morning, you don't get to go on Thursdays when the estate sales start and line up 2 hours early so that you can be in there first.
Let me tell you, there was CRS, which is a big, for people listening, it's a big seminar in Nashville. Country Radio gets together. It's literally called Country Radio
Seminar.
It's a
convention.
And a friend of mine sent me a link to an estate sale that started the morning of CRS.
I remember.
Yeah, and it was a guy who had worked with Garth Brooks. So there was all this Garth stuff. And they were like, you going to go to this? And I was like, oh my gosh, it's CRS. And you're kidding, right? And so I toddle in here to them and I go, so here's the thing. I'm supposed to be doing this, but here's this estate sale going on. And they just go, no, you got to go to that. Yeah. And so, I went and I picked up some things.
To be really careful. I don't go to as many estate sales as I make it look like I do because they bring out bad personality traits in me, and I don't really like myself very much.
I want to hear about this. Let's go.
Well, because I tend to be very competitive, and I don't really like being very competitive, but if I'm going to go to an estate sale, I want to make sure that I get the stuff that I want.
So when you're gone, are you going after the dead people clothes like Carson does?
I have some dead people clothes.
But what is that what your goal is?
He doesn't seem to be as focused as I am on
not
the clothes.
Very focused.
I think he's more, you're good at sniffing out maybe like publications. He has like troves of newspapers and stuff because he's got the eye for, I think as a journalist, you pick up stuff like that and he knows enough about the rarities that maybe the layperson who walks in, they're like, oh, that just looks like a fan. And he'll be like, no, that was from some event that they handed out on popsicle sticks, and it was so-and-so.
It's laced
up
with LSD.
You know,
yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you've talked to me for the last few minutes. You see how I kind of bounce from this to that.
Yeah, but I don't see you getting angry. I want to see that.
I want to
see
I don't get angry because I internalize it all. And so I'll think nothing of showing up at 2 o'clock in the morning for something that's going to open at 9.
To be first.
If I know where stuff is. I mean, I went so far once as the guy who was the printer for the Opry for like 40 years died, and they had his estate sale.
And he was the what for the opera?
He did the printing for like the programs and stuff like that. He printed all of the fanfare programs and stuff for the first several
decades,
years.
Right.
Yeah. And I reached out to the person that was doing the estate sale and was like, let me in and see what you've got and take pictures of it. And I'll post it on my Instagram and Facebook and I'll tell stories about it. And that way people will see it and more people will want to come to your estate sale.
I see.
And that was great. And so I made sure that I got there first on the day because I knew where everything was. And I walked in to every, and I just grabbed, I didn't stop at anything. I just grabbed everything that I wanted, put it all in a big pile, and walked out with like $600 worth of stuff that was everything from the first 5 years of fanfare programs to a book published in 1892 of sermons by Sam Ryman. So that's from the year that the Ryman Auditorium opened.
Wow.
And my favorite thing, a Dolly Parton coloring book from the 1970s. With a letter to the printer, who was an Auburn fan. Of course, Dolly grew up in East Tennessee, so I have a letter of Dolly trash-talking Auburn.
In, like, her handwriting?
Typed with her signature, you know, thank you for doing such a wonderful job on my coloring book. You know, go Vols.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Mm-hmm. What kind of music, what are you listening to right now?
Goodness, what am I listening to right now? Well, I've been listening to Brandon Lake for most of the week because I'm writing a story on that. I tend to listen to what I write about.
That's smart.
So I've been doing that.
Good idea.
pro tips right here.
Yeah. Wait a second. I'm writing that down. Hang on a second.
Okay. I've been listening to Lou Christie because he died. You know, last week I was listening to Bonnaroo because I thought there was going to be a Bonnaroo.
Did you go? Have you ever been?
I've been every year but two. I was there for like the first music they had at Bonnaroo.
Were you there for the Beastie Boys final show?
I saw the Beastie Boys last show. I saw a soul singer named Bobby Womack.
Oh, my gosh.
Did his last show at Bonnaroo.
And all those people going, he's white? Everybody's like, what?
Well, not Bobby Womack, no.
Oh, no, wait, who am I thinking
Bobby
of?
Bobby Womack was like across 110th Street and ran with Sam Cooke. And,
oh, wait, maybe that's a different one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I'm not sure who you're thinking, but yeah, Bobby,
that's who I'm thinking of.
Bobby died a couple of weeks after Bonnaroo, and that was his last show.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who died right before Bonnaroo? He's one of the original founders of it.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
I can't either. I didn't know him as well as I knew some of the
other really
people.
Young.
Yeah,
he was only like 52.
Yeah, younger than me for sure.
And to die before your big thing that you do.
Yeah.
Jonathan Mayers?
Yes, that's right.
And then you had Luke got on stage and Miranda, and then they canceled the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, well, it was he had Miranda out, and he had Marcus King out.
That's right.
And who's the other guy? Not non-format guy that he's just done a John Bellion.
Okay,
he did a couple of songs with John Bellion.
You're gonna outdo us on this, yeah.
You've actually been to Bonnaroo. I always go, man. If I could helicopter in and helicopter out and have my own private bathroom, I'd be okay. But other than that.
Yeah, I have not done a tent. I've done almost everything else. I slept in my van one year just to go, oh, let's see the guy from the New York Times sleep in his van. That was not a good idea. Stayed in an RV for a couple of years. I've stayed in nearby hotels. Usually I just drive back and forth and try not to fall asleep.
How long did it take to get in and get out
with the traffic?
Well, it depends on when you go and what, you know, it's just like, I know the back roads. I go in the industry way. So that's much faster than trying to go in.
I went on a Saturday once and everybody had already been there for 3 days. Yeah, so I had zero issue getting
Right. Yeah. So it's not like CMA Fest where people are constantly coming and going. Once you get in, you're there and you stay. So if you're in there after like 5 o'clock on Thursday, it's not really that bad.
I got you.
By the way, how awesome is CMA Fest going to be with the new stadium? I mean, that's.
You think they're going to use it? Are they going to use the stadium?
Yeah, they have to.
Oh please,
they're going to have to.
Yeah, because the rain. Yeah, we got to fix this weather thing because between Metallica, AC/DC, and CMA Fest, in the span of basically a month, three things I was going to, I either got rain delay or straight up the next day for shows. And yeah, please put it in the
stadium. Won't have to stop things for lightning.
Bubba and I didn't get out of CMA Fest that Friday night show until almost 2 a.m. Because they had to delay it so much for the rain, which I get.
But it was worth staying because Keith Urban.
Amazing, which is why we stayed. But it's also, I had to be back at 10 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
You do kind of wonder why they didn't think of that with the first stadium and put a roof on it to begin with. But I'm not sure when the initial stadium came in, I'm not sure that anybody seriously thought of us as a Super Bowl destination.
That's true, too.
And I think that's what this stadium is about. It's about getting a Super Bowl.
100%.
For sure.
And it also, when you think about it, what is a Super Bowl? What do they say the economic impact is on the typical? It's like $2 billion each Super Bowl. Ooh. So if you build a stadium that lasts 25 years, hopefully you'll get on the rotation. You get two or three Super Bowls. It pays for the stadium easily and then some.
Yeah.
And then it helps pay for the financing of the next stadium.
Well, and that's one of the things that Nashville has learned is that Nashville is at the point now where a lot of those people need us more than we need them. Like, for example, I think Major League Baseball needs Nashville more than Nashville needs Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, Olympics, those are different beasts. Maybe World Cup. Those are the kinds of things that reshape your city.
I couldn't believe they did not work out a deal with that stadium to figure out. I mean, what is it, 5,000 people short for the World Cup, the Geodis?
World Cup is a weird beast. I mean, and they are very demanding. And I don't know a lot of the specifics, but World Cup is a lot of trouble.
Trouble. Okay.
If World Cup comes in, everybody in your offices has to clear out of the building while World Cup is in town. And you know, the branding all changes and all of that. So yeah, World Cup, you got to put a lot. It's a big commitment to host.
They make
World
you
Cup.
Sacrifice who you are to be who they are while they're in town.
That's a very good way of putting it. But Super Bowl is interesting because I remember hearing a few years ago that we didn't have enough hotel rooms for a Super Bowl.
What?
And that's one of the reasons that Indianapolis got Super Bowls and we didn't, because freaking Indianapolis had more hotel rooms at the time than Nashville.
Maybe
at the time. Not now.
I don't think that's the case now because they – but I remember about 10 years ago when Carl Dean was mayor, I said, if you could snap your fingers and make something happen in this town immediately, what would it be? He goes, 400-room hotel. Without pausing, 400-room hotel. And, of course, we've probably built 20 or 30 hotels since then.
Yeah.
But I think we finally got the hotels, get the Dome Stadium, and Super Bowl's coming.
I want all of the Nashville civic leaders to stop what they're doing this week and just go down to New Orleans. And I want them to go and look at what you could be. It's an alternate universe because Nashville, having grown up in, you know, going to Bourbon Street since I was a kid, you know, it's so sketch now.
Yeah.
It is so sketch. And you have to go and look at it and go, What do we do? What kind of precautions do we take to make sure that this stays, that Broadway 2nd, you know, area down Sobro stays safe?
Yeah.
Because it can turn whack pretty quickly. And I mean, I love New Orleans. I love New Orleans and just being a part of it. The city's alive, but it's dangerous. And I hate that about, like, you know, when my kids are like, I want to go to New Orleans. I'm like, okay, but.
Yeah, and Nashville is starting to get a little bit of that reputation. Enough people have fallen in the river that
or
Nashville
they're getting
is
their drink spiked or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, Nashville is beginning to get that reputation, and we're kind of at very close to an inflection point.
We have to fix that quick.
Yeah.
You got to get in front of it. It's like a boat. You know, you can't turn an aircraft carrier on a dime. You got to slowly shift it. And I hope and I pray that they're going to go and look at some of the cities that have done it wrong and learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
You guys think that we're more like New Orleans or more like Austin or Vegas?
More like Vegas. I feel the Vegas thing.
Except more walkable, because you don't want to try to walk Vegas, because I tried that once and it was a bad idea. My wife still hasn't forgiven me for that.
Vegas is good for 2 days, and then I've got to get out of it. I'm getting depressed.
Yeah.
It just gets depressing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with Vegas is everything, you realize it's Disney. You know, like when you're at Disney, you see the streets on Main Street or the buildings on Main Street, and you're like, oh, it's so Disney-esque. But all of it is a facade. It's all just basically, you know, boxes with a pretty front on it. Yeah. And that's what Vegas is. It's a box, and they put a real pretty cool facade on the front, and everything else is smoke and mirrors. And so in that way, I don't think Nashville is like that. I think Nashville is still the shiny stuff you see is actually the shiny stuff.
Yeah, that's
true. And it's not a pretend shiny thing.
But the interesting thing about Nashville is what people talk about as the real Nashville. The real Nashville takes place in houses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so Broadway is kind of a different beast that has grown out of that in some ways. But you know, real Nashville was always in people's houses. It was having your friends over and writing songs or having a party and everybody brings their guitar and stuff like that. And that sort of thing hasn't changed much. It's still, that sort of stuff is still there. It's just that you have more opportunities for tourists to come to town and drink. Because I grew up here. I remember when there was nothing to do here besides, I mean, I remember when there wasn't even an Opryland. But, you know, there would be nothing to do here besides Opryland and the Grand Ole Opry. And it wasn't necessarily a country music town as far as who lived here. And so there wasn't much to do. I mean, you could go to the Parthenon, but, you know, and now there's a lot more stuff to do. But the real Nashville, if you want to, you know, you want to come to Nashville and experience the real, you got to get out of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tell people all the time that come in, go to Franklin.
Yeah.
Go to Columbia.
Go do some cool stuff. Go to Hermitage. Go and just sit out on the lake. You know, there's all kinds of cool stuff to do that isn't drinking constantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell people go to 12 South, go to this, go to that. You know,
go to the Station Inn,
Sylvan Park.
Because you can get into the Station Inn, you can't get into the Bluebird.
I often say go to the Station Inn. You know, people ask, you know, what's a good place to go listen to live music? I'm like, Station Inn.
Yeah.
And you're going to see some of the best musicians on planet Earth.
Man, I saw something. It was some kind of article about new restaurants that were coming into town. And so this is going to be in the such and such district. And I was like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I've had to
Google some of the things they call districts in this town. I go, what does that even stand for? I don't have enough.
I couldn't even tell you the good one. Like, if you said, Soho, is that what you said earlier?
No, I said Sobro.
Sobro?
South Broad.
Oh, okay, I got it. Okay.
Well, it's like Pie Town.
What's Pie Town?
Oh, I don't know Pie Town.
Pie Town is right there between, like, you're just out of Sobro, and you're coming toward Gulchich, Berry Hill, because it's a triangle. It's a wedge. So there's, like, Pie Town Pizza. I had to Google it.
Oh. Okay, is that over by Wedge?
No.
Okay.
Oddly.
I'm confused where the old Pie Town restaurant was.
Right, no, it's not that. Right, it's not that. It's this weird little sliver because there's parking over there. You park in a lot there. City Winery ish adjacent. Okay. I don't know, but that's the thing. Somebody was talking about. Oh yeah, Pie Town.
I have a whole list now.
Yeah, like Guy Fieri was there, and I go, I live here. I don't know what that is.
So you got the Gulch. You've got 12 South, East Nashville, Sober Out, Green Hills.
Got all these.
Sylvan Park.
Yeah.
Where's Sylvan Park?
Sylvan Park is
like
over
Charlotte.
You know where Christie's old little bar that Christie used to own with her ex-husband? No?
No.
Okay. Neighbors.
West Nashville. So, tell somebody that's actually one of the best ways to tell somebody that's actually from Nashville?
What?
People that are from Nashville talk about places by what used to be there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this who used to be the married to the...
It's a variation of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and this goes back... This goes back for, since before Nashville blew up.
Yeah.
Because it has changed over so much, and Nashville likes to build things on top of stuff that gets old but not cool old, because the economy is so stable in Nashville that you tear stuff down... Before it gets, nothing just sits around for 100 years with nothing happening to it. And then you go, oh, look at this old building. Now, that building's all gone. Right. And so they talk about what used to be there. So St. Thomas Midtown Hospital is the old Baptist hospital.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or where thus and so used to be.
Yeah.
Two Nashvillians of my age, because I'm in my early 60s, two Nashvillians my age can get each other just about anywhere in town based solely on the location of old Shoney's and Krispy Kreme's. As
No, there's always, you know, they're going to remake that Shoney's. Ah, no, they're not. Don't fall for it. How about you get the Nations? I'm like, the Nations?
Yeah.
Dude, that's like...
That's up by tune.
So sketch. Back in the day, that was sketch.
Yeah, you didn't... Because we flew out of that airport right there. So you're like...
Tune. Oh, you get there at night and driving away, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Where we are now.
Eighth.
Was...
Dude, this used to be kind of...
When we moved,
you could have certain kinds of fun here.
When we moved into this neighborhood in 2013, at the end of 2013, it was not what it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. Like you
which
don't
is
go...
probably why you moved in, because it was
cheaper.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Well, I mean, that's what Music Row was when people started moving in the 50s. Because what happened? So Music Row is basically the result of Nashville's lax zoning laws.
Okay.
Because that was a neighborhood that got built up in the early part of the 20th century. And so after World War II, it was beginning to be kind of run down. And so they rezoned a lot of that commercial. So you had this whole group of houses that suddenly you could put businesses in, which is what allowed two brothers, Owen and Harold Bradley, to put a freaking military Quonset hut in the back of a house and letting musicians come into the neighborhood at all hours of the night.
See, I thought, I was always told that Music Row happened because it was old houses with basements, and the basements were cheaper to soundproof. That's what I was told.
Yeah, I mean, but that's part because it was a rundown neighborhood. It had the basements. A lot of those early hits at the Quonset Hut Studios were recorded in the basement. I think Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree and Jingle Bell Rock and maybe even Holly Jolly Christmas were all recorded in that basement, which, I mean, the basement's gone. The Quonset Hut is still there. But it was because the zoning laws let you put businesses there. And so Music Row, it helps to think of Music Row as a factory district where you have all of these little creative factories put into craftsman cottages. And that's what Music Row was.
Wow. It's fascinating.
And now it's a bunch of law offices.
and that was actually kind of part of the plan from the beginning. Not a lot of people know this, but what a lot of those guys, the Chet Atkins and the Eddie Arnolds and the Harold Bradleys, wanted to do with Music Row, there was a proposal really early on, within just a few weeks of people start, not a few years of people starting to call it Music Row, there was a proposal to tear out the entire western side of 16th Avenue from Division all the way to Belmont and turn that into a four-lane street and starting and putting multi-purpose high-rises with heliports on the top. I mean, this is in the 60s they're talking about doing this.
The Jetsons cars.
Yeah. I mean, you may remember when Reba built Starstruck.
Yeah, she
they wanted to put a helipad on the top, and people
we were right
up
across the street from it at the time.
And so, right across the street, Hill and Range, which published Elvis Presley, they had that entire block, and they were going to put like a multi-story mixed-use facility there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all of this stuff, but the hillbillies were better at making music than they were at real estate development, and they had no real power in the town. And so that's the reason that we got Music Row, the Music Row that we did, because if they had had their way, we'd have had what we have now 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fascinating. It's too bad you're so dumb. How do people follow you, man? If people want to get more Brian Mansfield.
I am at Brian_Mansfield just about every place.
Okay.
Facebook, Instagram, Threads. I have a Facebook page called the Nashville Musical History Tour that I don't update as much as I wish I did, that has a lot of the stories about this happened in this house, and you know, here's the house where Ira Leuven got shot.
Where's that at? Where's that at?
The Nashville Musical History Tour on Facebook.
Okay, and just all that. The Nashville.
If you search for Facebook Nashville Musical History Tour,
okay.
It'll take you.
Oh, that's
it'll
that, take you there. Is that going to change the way whenever I have family come to town and they want me to go show them stuff? Is that going to change my route now?
Probably.
It could, and it might keep you closer to your neighborhood, because I tend to focus away from Music Row and downtown, because those are so well documented.
Yeah.
I've got a story about the Drury Inn by the airport, which is where Scotty McCreery lived for the first year after winning American Idol. And so
lived in a hotel
at the Drury Inn.
Yeah, he would leave his pickup there. They let him store his pickup that he won on American Idol.
What?
Yeah.
So I don't remember any of this. See, look, you guys keep teaching me stuff.
That's interesting.
Also, can we add the musical tour to the Pokestops that we're going to do with the Drunk Country?
Well, see, now that's actually what I want to do. I want to create a Pokemon Go type app that you can sit there and go, okay, here's where I am. Where's the nearest cool country music thing that happened happened around me?
Bubba just wrote it down.
I did.
I just don't know how to do geolocation apps.
We'll see. I mean,
because I got the content. It's it's constantly renewing itself. So
you could show up and it would be like on your screen. You look at it and like the person sings like they're right there in front of you.
Well, you could do that, but just three blocks from here is where this thing happened or that thing happened. Or
it's almost like a pub crawl. You just go from one event to the next.
Yeah, but you can do that all over this town, because you figure over the history, there's like 500 people that somebody will care about from this town, whether it's country or musicians or pop or whatever. There's going to be 500 of those, let's say. Everybody, all 500 of those people probably lived four different places. So that's 2,000 data points before you even get to where Kesha went to high school, or where Lori Morgan got married, or where they held the funeral for Johnny Cash, or where these people are buried, or where the people got arrested for drunk driving. I mean, it's constant, and I'm trying to compile all of these stories and all of these locations into like big spreadsheets and stuff.
That's cool, man. Busy. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You want to hear our jingle that goes out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to open the show, we never know what the format or the genre of the song is.
Okay.
So that's why we're like, oh, look at this. We didn't know what was going on. This one, however, is a standard. And you can sing along if you know the words.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Come on.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Thank you, Brian.
Anytime.